Welcome, everybody, to another podcast exclusively here at the amazing Hawaii Comic Con. I, of course, am G Money. I am joined by my partner in crime over here, the one and only horror aficionado, Gannon, is in the house as well. We're also joined by a very, very talented, talented artist. Mr. Paul Azaceta is here as well. Wasn't that good?
That
you just
good.
Learned it five seconds ago. Good job.
A very talented artist. He has worked on Punisher Noir, which was awesome. And now he's working on an amazing. He's collaborating on an amazing book, Outcasts. And now it's actually gone to TV. Go figure.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, listen, Paul. I know you ain't got much time. We'll try and streamline this a bit for you. So I've asked every artist that I've had on this show, your craft, was this something that was harnessed as a youngster, or was this something you found later on in life?
Well, I mean, that's a very generous word to give craft to what I do, but... I've always drawn. I've always loved comic books ever since I was able to read. So whatever the age that was, hopefully just same as everyone else and not too late. You know,
right.
I'm a normal developing boy. And I always loved comic books and I always loved drawing. And it was always something I always wanted to do. So as far as developing my craft or whatever you want to call it, my art, it was something I always strive for. I mean, I still don't feel like I'm quite there yet. Or I'm always it's a continuing process. But it was something I ever did since I was little, and I just kind of stuck with it, and thankfully, so far, it's been paying off.
What was, when you had gotten your first gig as a comic book artist, what was it, number one? And number two, how was it an exciting experience for you, or did it change your mind about comic book? The mainstream of comic book media?
It was definitely an amazing experience. I mean, like, it was something that, like I said, like, ever since I was little, I wanted to do. So I, when it finally happened, like, I finally actually got a paying gig, it was like my dream come true in a lot of ways.
Oh,
and
great.
So it was pretty amazing. It was actually Captain Marvel for Marvel Comics.
Wow.
It was my first. It was weird that ended up being the first thing. But it was it just so happens that I don't know, whatever circumstances happened that I knew some editors. I was constantly bugging them about work and this and that, and then finally they gave me a shot, and it was pretty amazing. I mean, it changed my mind in the way that it's even more work than I thought it was. Starting out, trying to get the work in, trying to do, but like doing monthly books and doing
sure.
that kind of thing, hitting deadlines or so like that. Until you're in the trenches doing it, you really don't understand it.
I've asked independent comic book artists and mainstream comic book artists, is it more difficult to work under the pressure of a deadline or making your own deadlines to meet your actual deadline?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely pros and cons to both. sometimes you think like, oh, no deadline would be great, but then it's really, you need that pressure on top of you to kind of force you in a way to like get the work done, because if not, then you could just kind of noodle around and you could kind of like never be sad. I mean, you're never satisfied with your own art or your own work in story wise or whatever it is. So if you don't have that deadline, you could really start just noodling around and just playing around or trying to perfect it and never actually. So deadlines are great to forcing you to just kind of like let go and just like this, I finished the page or I finished the issue or whatever, and I just let it go. There's no time to like go back and correct all those 8,000 mistakes that I could see and all that stuff. So
every time you turn a page and you look at your art, you get
I always tell people I'm really happy that there's other fans of my work and other people come up and enjoy, because I'm not a fan of my own work. It's horrible. Like all I see is the mistakes. I mean, I think you ask any artist that's worth their salt or pretty good, that they feel the same way, because it's an evolving process of like trying to get better and trying to work. So you those mistakes really kind of haunt you, because you're trying to do this perfect thing that just never it's never going to work, you know what I mean?
Right.
You have to resign yourself to that, but at the same time, it's what you strive for. So when you see even the littlest mistakes and the littlest thing, you're like, oh man, I wish I could have.
You hear that, audience? He's chasing perfection.
Yes. Well, no, I'm nowhere near it, but well, but that's what I strive for.
Well, I tell you what, we are big fans of your work. The man behind the camera that came to ask for the interview, he is a huge fan of your work.
Oh well, thank you.
Now. You're delving into the realm of collaborating, and actually your work is being put onto the screen.
Yeah.
What's that like? Number one.
It's really a whole new experience. It's a whole different thing that I'm kind of like learning about as I'm doing. This is the first time anything of mine has really been adapted. I mean, there's been other stuff I've done before that I've been like. Bought kind of rights of or this, but nothing like got past like that pre-developing stage or whatever. So this is the first one that's really got to this point where it's actually going to be on TV. It's going to be on all that stuff, and seeing what they're doing with it, it's amazing. I mean, like there's a lot of people. It's funny because like it's me and Kirkman are doing the book, so it's really just me and him, and then we have our colorist Elizabeth Brettweiser, who's amazing,
right.
And stuff. Who comes in and like makes everything look awesome, but it's a lot of it like me and Kirkman just kind of sitting down and figuring stuff out. So it's just two minds kind of like coming, you know. So when you adapt that to like a TV or something like that, when you have like 50, 100 people on set, mm-hmm. and all this stuff, so all these people are kind of focusing on one thing. It's really interesting to see all of them bringing their own kind of ideas, their own skills and talents and their own stuff, you know, like even like Patrick, the main guy playing Kyle, and seeing what he's doing with the character and stuff.
Right.
Something that lived in my head and I try to capture on the paper, but like I have it like in my head, and seeing someone else kind of just take that,
sure,
and do that kind of their interpretation of it or try to capture what it's weird and also awesome at the same time.
Wow, that is amazing. So listen, the next question I'm going to ask, before I ask it, I have to look around.
Okay. Everybody dies at the end.
I think the coast is clear. Working with Robert Kirkman, is he a diva?
He... I can't say publicly. He made me sign a non-disclosure.
Okay,
no, I'm kidding. No, he's actually, in all honesty, like, I've known Kirkman for years. Like, we run in the same circles for many years. We had the same friends. We weren't necessarily, like, best of friends ourselves, but, like, we knew... We had mutual friends when this and that, and you know, and we even talked about like possibly working together before Walking Dead blew up and all that stuff. And he did all that stuff, so we always like.
He's a huge fan of your work, by the way. From what I understand, is he?
Well,
not?
Yeah. I mean, hopefully, he likes what I'm doing. You know, yeah. I mean, he was a fan of my work, you know, and vice versa for many years, and we knew each other. So, seeing what happened now, where like, you know, whether it's Walking Dead and whatever, there's all the success he's had. I could tell you for a fact that knowing him back then and knowing him now, he's like the same guy. The only thing now, he has money, so he can kind of blow off more things. You know, like he's not, you know, because he's like, screw you, I'm rich, I don't need to I don't need to do this. So like, but besides that, like, but even back in the day, like he was always like kind of a curmudgeon that way. It's just that now he actually has the clout to like, you know, not have to do those things. And
right.
but he's a super nice guy and awesomely collaborative. Like it's really great, like working on scripts with him and so, or like when he gives me the script, I should say, because they're great in that they're not super specific. They give me a lot of room to like play around with,
sure,
things and do this and that. And like he loves like me bringing things to the table too, and like so it never feels like I'm just like hampered by like this.
You feel like you're part of the process.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I am part of the process. You know, he makes it that way, and it's really great working with him. And I can say he's a super nice guy. I wish I actually had stuff like dirt to tell him.
Doggone it, man!
But he's actually it's quite nice guy. You know,
I figure when you see him walking around the convention floor and he's just in shorts and slippers and he's just hanging out looking at stuff.
Yeah,
I saw him wipe sweat off his forehead with a 50 and just throw it in the trash. It's crazy.
Yeah, besides that kind of stuff. No, but that's what I'm saying. Like he does have more money now. But that's another thing. I mean, but still t-shirt and short t-shirt and jeans kind of guy. Like he doesn't even like. I even tell him sometimes like, why don't you get some nicer clothes? I mean, like don't you have money? I saw him in like one time in he was actually in like, I think it was a tux for some Walking Dead premiere thing. Whatever. I was like, oh, yeah. Surprised. Like, holy crap, you actually own like a tux? Or... Yeah, I swore he was going to wear like that t-shirt with like the tux painted on or
That's
something like that. You
great.
Know, like So yeah, he's a really cool down-to-earth guy.
Well, listen, before we let you go, I got one last question for you. It has to deal with your newest project with him, Outkast.
Yeah.
It is, they've screened it here at the con.
Yes.
The pilot episode. Now, for those that may not be familiar with it, where in the comic book should we start at number one? Are there already key issues that we should be reading to get more involved in this story? Or?
Yeah, I mean,
I can hear you still. Go right ahead.
I'm definitely starting with number one. It's 18 issues are out now, so it's not the huge catalog that is Walking Dead or his other books or Invincible that has like over 100 issues and stuff like that. So this one you can definitely start from number one. First couple volumes are out. I think the third one either just came out or it's coming out soon. But either way, like so you have all that. It's not a lot to like get through. You could definitely do that. And I mean the show is actually going to stand on its own too. Like so you could also just do that. You don't have to like get prepared with the comic necessarily for the show. I think Kirkman is doing a really great job of making both things kind of work independently as well as like match in tone and feel and basically be the same story, but like, you know, like be its own thing. So fans of the comic book are not going to get bored watching the TV show knowing exactly what's going to happen, and vice versa.
Good.
So you know, I would encourage anybody who watches the show though to pick up the comic book.
Absolutely.
Because I'm all about the comic book. So happy the show is there, but for me it's just a big commercial for the comic book.
Right, right. You can check out Outkast. It'll be hitting Cinemax very soon.
Yeah, Cinemax June 3rd.
Which is
a Friday. They do their shows on Fridays. So it'll be 10 episodes.
Right.
And I'll just go every Friday after that.
Fantastic. You know. And where can we find you? Are you on social media anywhere? Where can we find you?
Me, I'm terrible at social media. I'll say that now.
Me
but
too.
I do have, I am on Twitter, and I'll post on there, which is just my name, at Paul DeSetta.
Okay.
And Tumblr, which is the same thing, just my name. So I have a Twitter and a Tumblr, basically, that I do pretty regularly. You know, I'm terrible at social media, But I try to do that, so you can find me there pretty much online.
Well, sir, you are a very talented artist. We are so happy to have had you on the show. Thank you for just bringing that liveliness to comics with your art. Appreciate that very much. And thank you for stopping by the Nerd Watch, by the way.
Yeah, no problem.
We certainly appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Azaceta, the man behind what you'll be watching on Cinemax and reading in the comic books you can find at Maui Comics and Collectibles. Outkast is currently available. Right before I go, Paul, again, you have any questions for Paul before we leave?
We covered everything.
I think we covered everything pretty well.
That's it. Sure. I'm all good.
You're all good. So listen, guys, Paul Azaceta, check him out. He's on Twitter and Tumblr under his name. He's not hiding anything.
Nothing
at all. So Nerd Watch, we'll be back with more interviews right here live from the Comic-Con floor at the Amazing Hawaii Comic-Con. So until then, aloha.